This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Sadie's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, the NBA playoffs may just simply come down to health. Plus, we'll catch up with Charleston native and former NBA player Anthony Johnson in just a little bit to talk about those playoffs and his career as well. The Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They have been in business for over 100 years, and they're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S. Baker Roofing provides residential and commercial roofing. And in 1915, they were founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager of Baker Roofing Charleston, a call, or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. You can check out their incredible history and see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing, bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. We closed out last hour with the breaking news that Coach K is on his way out of Duke. He announced that he will be retiring after the upcoming season. And according to Pat Forty, source has already confirmed that it's going to be John Shire, one of his assistants who played for him about a dozen years ago, who will become the next head coach. He's been an assistant there at Duke for a number of seasons. He's only 33. So that's a big job for a guy who's never been a head coach before. Has only been an assistant at Duke, his alma mater, I mean, where he played. So, you know, that's the one place that would certainly love to give him his first job. Only has been an assistant there. Only will be 34, and he's taking over, right, maybe the number one job still in college basketball at Duke, replacing the legend, Coach K. You never want to be the guy who replaces the legend. You want to be the guy who replaces the guy who replaced the legend. You want to be next in line. You say, yeah, okay, hire Shire, and then we'll see how he does in the next couple of years, and then that's when I'll swoop in. You know, so then he removes some of the pressure, some of the the Coach K lingering effects of how great things were. That's what happened at UNC when you go to Matt Doherty, and it's like, oh, and then Roy Williams comes in and he starts winning. And Matt Doherty wasn't directly after Dean Smith, but similar idea. A former player, you're taking a chance on a guy coming from over from Notre Dame, where he was for a season. And things didn't quite work out. So anyways, that's the big news today. We got the Celtics news this morning with Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge. Ainge out of the organization. Stevens moving into the front office. Apparently for the head coaching job, they're most interested in either Jason Kidd or former Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce. Now we got this Duke news with Coach K. And we'll see if we get any news out of the Falcons with a Julio Jones trade in the next 24 hours. I think, as covered earlier today, it'll take longer than that. But we'll see. Couple of big pieces of breaking news today in the sports. We're in the basketball world specifically. Coach K will retire after this upcoming season. We're seeing this with the older coaches. Now, not all of them. Leonard Hamilton's in his 70s. He's still coaching. Jim Boeheim, he's still around. But both in college football and college basketball, some coaches get to a certain age and thinking, this is enough for me. All this crazy recruiting, right? Recruiting year-round. The restrictions aren't as tough on recruiting now. You could talk to kids earlier. You could talk to them more frequently. You could text kids. You always have to stay on top of them. With social media, too, recruiting never ends. You're competing with other schools. You're recruiting your own guys. You're worrying about the transfer portal. Even Coach K has talked about the whole one-and-done society. You know, he wasn't really for the one-and-done originally, then realized, I got to keep up with the time. So they go and get guys like Zion Williamson. But changing his MO. You know, the game has changed so much. The sport has changed so much. The way you go about that job has changed in all the years that he's been the head coach at Duke. And now maybe at this point, you know, he's going to be 75. And it feels like, maybe this is enough. Enough of this stuff. The transfer portal and the ones and duns and all this recruiting year-round and, you know, not having a zero downtime and everything else. So one more year of Coach K. Coach K is the type of guy, it seems like you either love him or hate him, right? If you're a Duke fan, you love him. He's your guy. He's one of the all-time greats. If you're not a Duke fan, that look he gives on the sideline, the jet black hair still at 75 that I have to imagine he's using something. He's using some sort of product to get that dark black hair still. Right? But if you're not a Duke fan, you're probably happy to hear, oh, good, get Coach K out of there. Right? Now you don't have to worry about Duke so much. So the big news today, Coach K retiring at the end of the season. In regards to the NBA playoffs, 4 more games tonight. We'll talk about the playoffs coming up with Anthony Johnson in a little bit. But it seems like the NBA playoffs could just come down to health. I gave you my 4 teams at the start of the postseason that I thought would be the final 4 teams standing. In the East, the 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets. In the West, the 2 LA teams, the Lakers against the Clippers. And after watching the Lakers last night without Anthony Davis just get embarrassed, LeBron James leaving courtside early to go hang out in the locker room before the game was over because they were being so embarrassed, losing by 30 last night. First time LeBron's lost back-to-back games in the first round. First time he's down 3-2. Lakers are in big trouble. Teams that have won Game 5 in an even series have won the series over 80% of the time. So the Lakers have a 17% chance of coming back to win the series and will have to do it without, it seems, Anthony Davis. Good luck. And on the flip side for the Suns, Chris Paul's getting healthier and getting more rested because he only had to play 23 minutes last night. And it seems like, once again, the NBA playoffs can really be influenced by injuries, the health or lack thereof of certain stars, because the Lakers aren't going anywhere without Anthony Davis. The aforementioned 76ers aren't going anywhere in the East without Joel Embiid. And even the LA Clippers looked like they were dead, down 2-0. Then Luka Doncic apparently has this neck injury. The Clippers even the series. Game 5 is tonight in LA. And if the Clippers win that one, then I'll refer you back to the stat I just mentioned that gives them an 83% chance of winning the series. And suddenly Dallas will go from leading 2-0 and up big in Game 3 to maybe on their way out of the playoffs. And the Clippers would stay alive. And the Clippers then would not have to worry about the Lakers anymore. The Mavericks would be gone. The Nuggets are even banged up. And the Clippers' path would be looking easier in the West. Meanwhile, of those 4 teams I mentioned that I thought were the 4 best in basketball, the Nets, clearly the best team in the NBA, they're the ones that have remained healthy. They'll deal with the Bucks next round, which will be a tough series, but even the Bucks have had an injury with DiVincenzo. Right? Back in the Western Conference, the Nuggets are without Jamal Murray. The Celtics just got knocked out by the Nets, but didn't have Jalen Brown, and Kemba Walker was in and out in the lineup. He was banged up. He didn't play last night. And I go back to that Lakers-Phoenix series when Phoenix looked dead to rights when Chris Paul was injured. Then he got healthy, Anthony Davis got injured, and the series flipped on its head. And now the Lakers are the ones that look dead. When Chris Paul got injured, you know, he thought, oh, the Suns, they're not going to win another game. Now you watch the Lakers last night and you think, oh my God, this is not even an NBA team. They lost by 30, right, in the biggest game of the year. One of the biggest games for LeBron because he's still chasing those rings, and this may be his last good chance to get a championship. So when you look at the final 4 teams that many anticipated, including myself, the 76ers, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Nets, 3 of them so far have been affected by injuries. 2 in a negative way, right? The Lakers and the Sixers have really taken a hit to their title odds the last couple of days. The Clippers, meanwhile, have gotten a boost. We thought the Clippers weren't even going to make it out of the first round. Now, because of an injury to Luka Doncic, maybe the Clippers will survive, advance at this point, maybe go all the way to the Western Conference Finals and beyond. And the Nets, the favorite in all of this, have been able to remain healthy. And that's what is most important. Because the concern for the Nets throughout the regular season was that they couldn't get all 3 guys on the floor at the same time because of various issues. Injuries, Kyrie Irving taking time off, whatever it may be. If you can keep all 3 of these guys on the floor here in the postseason, though, I don't think anybody can stop Brooklyn. And now their path may have just gotten a little easier. Right? The Bucks had an injury. They may not have to worry about the Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals. If you get to the NBA Finals, as Brooklyn should, at this point, you may not have to worry about the Lakers. We'll see what happens with the Clippers the rest of the way. But this postseason, with the way things have transpired the last week, could simply come down to injuries. Which team is healthier at the end of the year? Right now, if Brooklyn, if Kevin Durant suddenly, you know, tweaks the Achilles or something, an ankle, a knee, whatever it may be, he's got to miss some time. Now you look at Brooklyn differently. But if they can stay healthy, they're the best team in the league, and now they have an easier path to that championship as well. And championships, unfortunately, of all sports, right? You would think football. This would be the way in football with how physical of a game that is. But yet it's basketball because the sport is so star-driven that when you lose one of those stars, you know, you're done with. It takes away your title odds, your opportunity to win. And we've seen this year after year. Each season now for almost a decade. In 2014, it was Dwayne Wade getting injured that altered the championship. 2015, Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving got injured in the finals, keeping the Cavs from winning. And then the next year, Andrew Bogut missed time, and the Cavs were able to come back and win that series. Then Kawhi got injured in 2017, and Chris Paul got injured in 2018, allowing the Warriors to advance to the NBA Finals and end up winning. In 2019, the Raptors really only won because Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant were both injured. Last year, the Heat were banged up. Right? Even in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs lost to the Buccaneers because they weren't missing, or they were missing their two tackles. And you could go back year after year in the NBA. Back in 1989, when the Pistons finally won an NBA Finals, and they beat the Lakers after Magic Johnson and Byron Scott both got hurt. The Knicks lost in the 99 NBA Finals. They didn't have Patrick Ewing. He was injured. The Bulls were the number one seed in 2012. But then Derrick Rose got hurt in the playoffs. They couldn't turn it into a championship. Much like the Mavs in 2003 when Dirk Nowitzki got hurt and they were the one seed. Or Yao Ming for the Rockets in 2009 got injured in the playoffs when they were, you know, the top seed. Oftentimes it comes down to injuries. And if the Nets can stay healthy, while everyone else is falling apart, it will only better their odds of winning a championship. The Lakers are in big trouble now if Anthony Davis cannot return. And they're running out of time. They got to win the next two, whether Anthony Davis is healthy or not, whether he's on the floor or not. All right, the Mavericks have to make sure Doncic is good enough, healthy enough, so that they can win tonight and try to close out this series. And the 76ers, without Joel Embiid, really won't go anywhere. Because then you'll be down to a star and a half, and the main star, Ben Simmons, refuses to even shoot the ball because he can't. He can't even shoot at the foul line. Right? They got to hack a Ben Simmons the other night for Washington to steal a game. So Philadelphia won't go anywhere without Embiid either. But if Brooklyn remains healthy, then they'll remain the favorite for the NBA championship. And they'll get all the way there and hoist the trophy this year. After watching the first round of the playoffs, I'm only more confident in Brooklyn. And as long as they stay healthy, that's the only thing that's going to stop them. The biggest concerns for Brooklyn this postseason, number one, injuries. Number two, Milwaukee. There's a pretty good gap between those two. And there's a huge gap between Milwaukee at number two, and number three on that list would be Philadelphia for biggest concerns right now for Brooklyn. As long as the Nets stay healthy, they should be fine because everyone else is falling apart. And a lot of times, the healthiest team is the one that ends up winning in the end. When we come back, Anthony Johnson will join us. He played for a long time in the NBA, originally from Charleston, played in a couple of NBA finals, and we'll talk about the NBA playoffs with him. Plus, he was on that Pacers team with the Malice at the Palace as well, and we've been talking so much about these issues with the fans at these games. Anthony Johnson scheduled to join us when we come back. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Been talking about the NBA playoffs with two teams advancing and four more big games tonight. And joining us now is longtime NBA veteran Anthony Johnson from right here in Charleston. Played at the College of Charleston, was drafted by the Kings, and spent 13 years in the NBA. He's with us now. Anthony, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, appreciate the time. You know, I was just talking last segment about how this year, like so many years in the NBA, the champion may just simply come down to health. We're seeing with Joel Embiid and Anthony Davis and all these guys. You played in the NBA Finals twice in your career. I mean, what does it take for a team to be able to go the distance, pull it off, and win a championship in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple factors that go into it. Part of it is talent. You have to have talent and a championship roster. You have to be playing the best ball in the world at the time, at the team, with, you know, your star players playing at a high level, and a bit of luck. And health definitely goes into that luck category. And, yeah, it might be survival of the fittest coming down here at the stretch. So, yeah, health definitely plays a role in winning the championship.
Now, as long as they stay healthy, at least two out of those three stars in Brooklyn, I've been on the Brooklyn bandwagon since pretty much the Harden trade that I don't think anybody can beat them this year. You know, when you look at a team like Brooklyn with those three stars, think back to your playing. You ever go up against a team with that many, those many options? How can somebody try to slow down this Brooklyn team with the offensive firepower they have?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you have three guys that can get 50 points in a game, you know, on a night. And with that being said, with somebody having a big night, I think last week, like, KD may have had, like, 40. James Harden had, like, 35 or 37. So it's incredible the offensive firepower that team has. If all three guys can stay healthy, it's going to be tough to beat them. But if one of them go down, then you have a fighting chance. But, you know, Jason Tatum did what he could do to win that one game. He played at a high level, but you're going to have three guys playing on a high level against them to have a chance to beat them.
Yeah, certainly. In the Western Conference, a lot of people thought even as a 7 seed, the Lakers could get out of the West. Now the Anthony Davis injury, they lost by 30 last night. Obviously are not the same team without Anthony Davis. If you watch the Lakers this year, you know, what have you seen from LeBron James? Because he has to put this team on his shoulders now and try to carry them, especially now that they're down 3-2. And people have been discussing the last 24 hours, whether it's the fact that he's 36. But he certainly didn't look like himself last night as the Lakers lost by 30. Do you think LeBron still has enough left in the tank to try to win this series or advance without somebody like an Anthony Davis?
I think the landscape of the NBA has changed to the point where teams are scoring 120, 130 points. So for him to put a team on his back, he's going to have to go for big numbers and have like Kyle Kuzma or someone else go for big numbers as well. But, you know, in the past, he was able to kind of put the team on his shoulders because you could defend the team and keep them in the 90s. And, you know, with him having a big night, you know, you get to 100, you know, mathematically, you know, you give yourself a fighting chance. But with the landscape of the NBA game now, with teams scoring 115, 120, 130 points, you know, one guy putting the team on his back, like similar to Damian Lillard. Like, yeah, he scored 55, but they gave up, you know, double overtime, 150 points. I mean, the offensive firepower that these teams are playing with now is kind of too much for one guy to burden the whole scoring load. So he's going to have another guy score 30, another guy score 25 with himself going big to have a fighting chance. But I think Father Time is, you know, he's undefeated. And, you know, LeBron, he definitely can have a big night, but he's going to have some other guys go big as well.
Talking with Anthony Johnson, who spent 13 years in the NBA. You played 100 games in the playoffs. As mentioned, you played in two NBA finals. You had that really good back in 2006 with Indiana. You had a great series. How much changes the playoffs compared to the regular season? How different was it as a player once you got to the playoffs? Did those games feel different? Was it a different brand of basketball? How big of a difference is there to the playoffs?
It's definitely a big difference. In a regular season, you know, you could kind of look at the schedule. Easy night here, you have, when you're on a championship team, you have a couple easy, not easy games, but, you know, teams that's not playing on your level. But here at playoff time, you know, everybody is playoff caliber. Everybody's trying to win a championship. Besides for the 1-8 seed, 2-7 seed, you know, the games are pretty much pretty competitive and the teams, you know, are pretty good. But, you know, I think guys train a little differently now. So, a lot of these injuries come from, well, part of being in a bubble and then having a short turnaround. But guys train differently now. Back in the days, guys used to play a lot of pickup so their bodies would be able to kind of carry that load. But now guys do a lot of individual work. And when you push your, you know, individual work versus playing pickup ball, when you start pushing your body, you know, your body doesn't quite know how to adapt to it and injuries occur. So I think the training has changed, which kind of has guys a little bit more injured. And, you know, I think that's what we're experiencing here in the playoffs.
You spent 13 years in the NBA, you know, as a guard, had a good career. I think the NBA is in a good spot now with a lot of young talent. And a lot of that talent, of course, at the guard position with guys like Trae Young, Ja Morant, even Damian Lillard, who's been in the league for a while, but I still think is underrated. And you mentioned the great game he had last night. Luka Doncic is already one of the best players in the league. If you sit down and watch a basketball game, is there a certain player in the league currently that you really like watching maybe more than the others?
Man, I mean, you have to – all the guys that you mentioned, you know, me being here in Atlanta, watching Trae Young, you know, he's a little guy, diminutive in stature, but he's averaging 30, 11 assists, you know, 5 rebounds, and definitely controlling the tempo of the series versus the Knicks. There's a lot of young talent, Donovan Mitchell, Ja Morant. Man, these guys are really playing good basketball. The NBA is at a great place as far as putting out a good product, very entertaining. So the NBA is in great hands. The one guy that I probably would have to say that I love watching, It's probably not the guy. I probably have to give it to Kevin Durant in the net. But I love to watch James Harden. Kyrie Irving has the ball on a string. So watching the Nets right now is probably where it's at for me. So I'm a big Kevin Durant fan. To see a seven-footer, you know, similar to Dirk Nowitzki, just be able to put the ball in the basket, be able to stop the team's other best player, and to do what he's capable of doing on the perimeter as a seven-footer is just something that's just, you know, just you have to appreciate and you have to admire. And, you know, his greatness, you know, is evident on every play, and to watch him get better and better is kind of where it's at for me.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's why I think the Nets can't be stopped this year with those three weapons they have. It'll be an interesting series with Milwaukee, but is there any other team in the league that you see that could potentially match up well with Brooklyn, that if they have to face them either in the East or the NBA Finals? You know, there's another team that you think could be the one to beat the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I think, you know, Milwaukee probably has the best shot. I also have to give it to Philadelphia with the healthy Embiid, just because when you got a big man that's dominant, you know, you can kind of control the flow and make it a dogfight. But, you know, those two teams definitely out of the West, you know, their top seeds are Utah, Phoenix. I still think they're young. I still think they're maybe a year away, but you never know what can happen. But I think the teams here in the East probably have the best shot of beating the Brooklyn Nets.
Talking with Anthony Johnson from Charleston, spent 13 years in the NBA. Anthony, how often do you get back to this to the area of Charleston?
Yeah, I mean, that's my hometown. So, you know, before the pandemic, I used to try to get home at least, you know, every 2 months, every 3 months, so four, five, six times a year. With the pandemic now, you know, I've kind of just been sitting tight here with my family here in Atlanta, taking it easy. But, you know, definitely plan to get back home sometime soon, watch the new Cougs, watch Pat Kelsey, you know, do his thing with the College of Charleston program. So once basketball starts up at the CSC, I'd definitely be back home. But, you know, all the golf courses there in Atlanta, you know, I mean, there in Charleston, yeah, I really enjoy. I have some great buddies that, you know, allow me to play like the Ocean Course that held the PGA Championship a few weeks ago. So golf is definitely, you know, will bring me home here in the near future.
You have a lot of fans in the area. Last I heard, you were coaching right in the Atlanta area. What have you been up to in regards to the basketball world?
Yeah, well, I've been taking care of. I have an AAU program that I kind of take care of. Two teams, the 8th grade team and 7th grade team, and my son. You know, he's a pretty good player, so kind of coaching him on the AAU level. So just kind of making sure all the kids here in my community and here in this area get good coaching, get a good understanding of the game of basketball, but making sure, trying to give back to the youth here in this area, and making sure that they're playing good ball. But my son's AAU teams kind of get the most of my priority and my attention as far as basketball is concerned.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Talking with Anthony Johnson, before we let you go, I do want to ask you, you know, we've seen incidents here over the past week in the NBA playoffs with fans acting out, whether it's dumping the popcorn, throwing the water bottle. What's your reaction as a longtime NBA player when you see guys running out, you know, fans running out onto the court? What's been your reaction as you see, you know, fans acting this way towards some of the players?
It's disappointing. I mean, the biggest thing is lack of respect. You know, when it comes to being a professional athlete, as much as people talk about entertainment, you know, it's our job, it's our workplace. When a player has a bad day, there's 20, 80,000 in the stands plus millions watching. When people in corporate America have a bad day, there's one or two people that may know about it. So when guys have a bad day, fans want to take it upon themselves to show their anger and their disgust, and it's just not the right place. And I think, you know, in Boston, watching a fan being taken away in handcuffs and being charged, I think that's the next step of where the NBA needs to move to. These fans need to be charged. Being a part of, you know, the Malice in the Palace, fans were coming on the court, and it's just a dangerous situation. It's dangerous throwing water bottles in people's faces. It's dangerous people running on the court. You never know what their intentions are. So it's just dangerous for professional sports. We saw Steffi Graf a few, maybe a decade ago, get stabbed, you know, during a changeover in a tennis match. So you never know what fans' intentions are, but it's dangerous, and we need to start holding these fans accountable. Just because you buy a ticket doesn't mean you get to treat players any kind of way or say what you want to them and their family, because if you're on the street, that definitely would not be your behavior. If you saw Anthony Johnson in a back alley, you definitely would not throw a water bottle in his face. So that is, you know, what we need to get to. We need to start arresting these fans, giving them charges, and making sure that the players are safe and there's no issue.
Do you think that the social media has almost empowered these fans, that they feel like they can get away with more at these games nowadays in the social media culture where, you know, you could tweet Kevin Durant and tell him he sucks, and he may even respond to you. So now when you're at the game, you almost feel more empowered that you can treat these athletes a certain way.
Yeah, social media has given a lot of people a forum that may not deserve a forum. And with that being said, you're able to interact with your favorite players. And then if you do something, then your followers go up. And, you know, everyone wants to be popular and get a whole bunch of followers. And in our society nowadays, you get to behave in a bad manner and be polarized and popular for it. And, you know, we glamorize bad behavior, whether it's on social media, whether it's with reality shows, people misbehaving and they get a whole bunch of followers. And, you know, I think our society, you know, is a big part of that, and social media is a big part of that. So, you know, it's when people use it in a positive way, social media, to interact with their fans, that's interacting with their favorite celebrities, that's a great thing. But I think when we give the forum to these people and show their clips over and over and over again, it makes them popular. And then the next guy is going to be more brazen and more bold and do something to top that. And it just will continue on. So we need to find a way to kind of shut it down and make sure that it doesn't occur, because we all know what happens if the players go into the stands. You're going to lose salary. You're going to lose games. You know, so players are kind of, you know, stuck. Like, you can't address it, and you can't do anything about it physically. And it's just not right. It's not right. Because we know if that occurred on the street, what the results would be. So I think it should be a mutual respect. The fans should, you know, give respect to the players, as well as the players give respect to the fans. And kind of we have to figure out a way to stop that and not give attention to wrongdoers.
Let you go on this. You mentioned the Malice at the Palace. I remember watching that on TV when it happened and being shocked. We had one of your former teammates, now known as Meta World Peace. He was on the show yesterday talking about it. I was watching it at home, you know, shocked at what I was seeing. For you being involved in that, take us back to that moment. Were you frightened? Were you scared? Were you shocked at what was unfolding? I mean, what was going on at the time through your mind as you were right in the middle of that?
Initially, when it happened, when I saw Ronnie going to the stands and players going after it, I was like, oh, my God. Like, we just knew, you know, the NBA is always, you do not go in the stands. So once that occurred and they started swinging, you know, it was part of, we're dead wrong. You know, those players and our team was dead wrong. And the other part is our championship season probably going down the drain. So, you know, it was a mixed a bag of emotions. Then once fans started coming on the court, you know, it was one of those sense of we probably need to defend ourselves because, you know, Detroit fans are pretty unruly. And but I, you know, I'm disappointed that I was a part of it. I should have kind of stayed clear. But, you know, it was just, it was a bad night. It was a bad night for the NBA, bad night for the Indiana Pacers, bad night for all the individuals involved. And hopefully it will never occur again. And that's why we need to get this fan behavior under control so it does not occur again.
Do you still talk to Meta World Peace, or you may know him as Ron Artest? Do you still keep in touch with him?
I see him, you know, in passing when we have basketball NBA events. I've run into him a couple of times as well as some of the other guys. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like now he's at a good place. You know, I wish he was at that good place where we were together in Indiana because, yeah, he was a big part of our championship dreams, and, you know, we just wasn't able to accomplish the great things that we set out to do. But it's good to see him in a good place. It's good to see him you know, being a former champion and kind of bringing awareness to mental health and how to deal with it and how to overcome it. And you just want the best for, you know, all the guys in the NBA. We're a fraternity, and you always want the best for everyone to overcome any adversity that they have and be the best that they could be.
Yeah, certainly. It was great having Matt on the show yesterday. It's been great talking with you as well. Anthony Johnson, originally from here in Charleston, played at the College of Charleston, then spent 13 years in the NBA. Anthony, I could talk to you all day about your career and about the playoffs. Appreciate the time, the insight, the stories, and we'd love to catch up with you at some point down the road.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate it.
Hey, pleasure's
all
ours.
Shout out to all the people in Charleston that support the show.
Hey, appreciate it. Pleasure's all ours. Yeah. Appreciate it, Anthony. Take care. Anthony Johnson. Originally from played at the College of Charleston, grew up here in Charleston, won a football state championship in high school, went to go play at the College of Charleston, gets back here, as he said, for golf all the time, spent 13 years in the NBA, involved in the Malice at the Palace with Ron Artest and all the other Pacers 17 years ago. When we come back, I teased it earlier. I've actually been teasing it all week. We've had it. It's kind of on the back burner. We'll finally get to it when we come back. Trevor Lawrence's comments about Tim Tebow, his new teammate, and also his new head coach, Urban Meyer, who, by the way, was involved in some wrestling the other night. Get to all that when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, Trevor Lawrence's thoughts on his new teammate, Tim Tebow, plus his new head coach, Urban Meyer, as well. Hey, I want to tell you about Lyerly's Dry Cleaners. They have their new to-go service. They can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They do shirts, suits, casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. Call or text them, 843-377-6994. To schedule a free pickup. You can even track your dry cleaning to see exactly when it'll be ready or delivered. Just mention that you heard about Lyerly's right here on ESPN Radio Charleston, and you can get 20% off your next order. Lyerly's Dry Cleaners, now with their to-go service. Check them out. Very convenient. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Anthony Johnson, longtime NBA player from right here in Charleston, joined us to talk about all sorts of things. The NBA playoffs, what he's up to, and also what it was like being involved in the Malice at the Palace with the Pacers and the Pistons 17 years ago. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast, or just find the show on demand online at charlestonsportsradio.com. I teased this earlier, then we got distracted. I teased this, I think, yesterday, I think, Friday. It's one of those things, right, a little secret, and it's bad. It's a bad job by me. If you tease something, you should get to it. But sometimes you have those topics, and then if you don't have time, we'll push it off to tomorrow. It's like the Jimmy Kimmel bit with Matt Damon, right? Didn't have enough time for Matt Damon. We kept running out of time for this because it's not the most pressing thing. But Trevor Lawrence did an interview with the NFL Network, and they asked him about his new teammate Tim Tebow and his new head coach Urban Meyer. Let's first start with what he had to say about Tim Tebow, his tight end. The tight end he's going to be throwing to. Because last week it was a big deal. They said the report was Tim Tebow caught every pass thrown his way. Yeah, I would hope so. If he's going to be a tight end, you got to be able to catch the football. Here's what Trevor Lawrence had to say on the NFL Network about Tim Tebow now joining him in Jacksonville.
I have, yeah. I've had a few good conversations with him, and I'm really excited to play with him. I think that's I don't know if you're going to find a better guy to have in your locker room, and he's in great shape. He looks great. He's been out there practicing with us the last 2 days and on Thursday of last week. So three practices in, he looks great. He's running around well, picking it up quick. I think mentally he's in a great spot being a quarterback and playing in the NFL for a number of years. He kind of gets the NFL offense, pro style offense systems. He kind of picks them up easily. So he's coming along great. And I think just everyone's excited to have him in the locker room, seeing what he's been able to do, the ultimate competitor he is, and just his character. That's just a guy you want on your team, for one, and the guy you want to be around.
Well, that was the whole point in bringing him in, right? Just to have that guy in that locker room and part of the team and around the guys and to help Urban build that culture in year one. A lot of people have compared Tim Tebow to Logan Thomas. who you may remember as the quarterback at Virginia Tech, was drafted as a quarterback, but after a couple of years in the NFL, they turned him into a tight end, the Detroit Lions did, in 2016. And they asked Logan Thomas about, you know, Tim Tebow and what he's trying to accomplish, because many have compared Tebow to Thomas. And Thomas, the quote he said was, "Rome isn't built in a day." Right? He didn't catch his first pass until his second year as a tight end. He didn't even play first year. It took him a year just to learn the ropes. Then year two, they started using him. And now he's turned himself into a good target for Washington. He's had a pretty good career as a tight end. But he's also bigger than Tim Tebow. And so when he wasn't catching passes initially, right, he could also be used as a better blocker. But we have seen, whether it's Taysom Hill, whether it's Logan Thomas, you take these former quarterbacks, turn them into another position. Tebow, maybe it will work out. But Logan Thomas, he's brought up as an example, but really the example shows that, yeah, but it didn't happen in even one offseason. Right? It took about 2 years for Logan Thomas to finally get it to the point where you could actually put him on the field as a tight end. Will the Jaguars be willing to invest maybe the next two seasons in trying to develop Tim Tebow into a tight end? Trevor Lawrence in this interview was also asked about Urban Meyer and asked to compare Urban to Dabo. How similar are they? How different are they? Here's what Trevor Lawrence had to say about his new head coach.
Personalities are a little bit different, but as far as just kind of the way they do things, there's a certain expectation that everyone knows. It's really clear, and I think the best coaches do that. You know, you know what they expect, and you know what you're expected to do when you come to work. And Coach Meyer is great at laying the groundwork and kind of laying it out for us and just telling us what he expects from us, and everyone's on the same page. And I think that's the biggest thing for a leader in general, but especially a coach, is just communication. And we all know what's expected of us, so there's no excuse not to get our job done. And I think he's great at that, but he also knows how to take care of us, and he listens to his players. I can already see that, only being here, you know, almost 3 weeks. I can already see that he's done that. So it's been really good.
Trevor Lawrence talking about his new head coach, Urban Meyer. Different from Dabo in personality, but maybe similar in the style or in terms of how they approach things as a head coach, right? That leadership mentality and the communication skills, and making sure guys are on the same page and getting the most out of their players. But certainly from a personality, I could see the two being different. Dabo's a little more happy-go-lucky, a little more even goofy and outgoing, and Urban seems to be a little more serious and a little more about business. I tell you what, the Jaguars, though, have quickly become one of the most interesting teams in the NFL, with Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow as a sideshow, and even Travis Etienne over there, and a 1-15 team last year that, as I've been saying all offseason here on the show, I could see them not only having a winning year, I could see them being a wild card team this year. I think the ceiling is that high in year one. Will they get there? I don't know. Urban may turn out to be a huge failure in the NFL. Right? Trevor Lawrence may get off to a slow start in the NFL. But I think the Jaguars have the potential to really turn things around quickly in an offseason. They're not going to go win a Super Bowl, not anytime soon. But to have a winning season, you know, to be 9-8 this year, yeah, I could certainly see that. But it'll be very interesting to watch the pieces they have there. By the way, did you see Urban Meyer involved in the wrestling world the other night? AEW, which was at the Jaguars, you know, because they share the ownership with the Khan family. And so Urban, they went in there into Urban's office, and Chris Jericho and Charlie Strong was in there interrupting Urban's meeting. I saw it online the other night. It was pretty funny. Now, if I'm Urban, though, I'm thinking, like, what's going on here? I came here to win football games. I understand you have this other company. You have this wrestling company, and they work here as well. But, like, what are you doing? Me and Charlie, we're trying to actually, you know, get some things done. You want us to play roles in your little wrestling act? Charlie Strong threw a couple of footballs to Jericho so that he could pelt his opponent with. And then the laptop, which this laptop, by the way, looked like it was out of 1997. Right, and Urban handed it to Jericho and said, "Hey, how about you use this?" And Jericho slapped the guy over the back twice with the laptop and then threw it away.
Well, if it's from 1997, well, then that's about as much use as it'll get.
Oh, exactly my point. Like, you know, they found like this crap. Oh, we can ruin this laptop. This is from when the Jaguars were first founded. This was Tom Coughlin's old laptop when he was the coach here. Right, so let's use this. I don't think it was actually Urban's real laptop. And it was awkwardly propped up on the chair of the arms of the chair. Nobody keeps a laptop like that. Half of it was on one chair, the arm of one chair. The other half was on the other, right, just to have it there so Urban could pick it up and hand it to Jericho. And then Urban even dropped a little curse word at the end. Said, "Holy blank," or something along those lines, while they were wrestling in his office. If I'm Urban Meyer, though, I'm thinking, this is my first time in the NFL. I just want to win games. I don't want to be part of this wrestling thing. Chris Jericho's going to come into my office and beat up some guy with my laptop? What's going on here? Right, what a circus. But it was amusing to see. Charlie Strong and Urban Meyer involved with AEW the other night. Went viral online. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones. Ricardo is with us. Ricardo, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, pretty good. A little nostalgia for you. My older brother played for Duquesne with Norman Nixon. My first basketball game was Duquesne played Mike played Duke, who had Jim Sparnarkle, Mike Jaminski, and then North Carolina with Phil Ford played St. John's. I was 8 years old. My brother got us, me and my mom, tickets to go see him play. Norm Nixon wound up getting drafted for Lakers, you know. And that was, like, the most amazing thing I ever seen. And North Carolina would send in five starters and pull five starters. And that's how they did. They had a platoon going back then, right. North Carolina. That was my first major college basketball game, like 8 years old, in the world-famous Madison Square Garden.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. So I just want to – I know right now there's a big thing going on with Zion. They may go on to probation. So he's kind of getting out before all that drama unfolds. But he had a stellar career, and hats off to him.
Yeah, he's one of the all-time greats, certainly, Coach K. And we'll see, you know, you don't want to be the guy. Good luck to trying to replace him. We'll see how Duke does in his absence.
Oh, yeah. All right, thanks, Luke. I just want to touch base.
Hey, appreciate it, Ricardo. Yeah, hey, that's not bad. First college basketball game seeing Duke at MSG, right? The Mecca. Mike Kaminsky, a Connecticut guy, by the way. Yeah, the news today being that Coach K announced he's going to retire after the upcoming season. I would compare it, and again, Matt Doherty wasn't directly after Dean Smith. Essentially was, about 2 years later. But Duke apparently is going to name John Shire, one of their former players, who's been an assistant there for 7 years, as the new head coach after Coach K. And it's somewhat similar. But at least Doherty was a little more experienced. He had been a head coach before. Right? And then that didn't work out, and it led to Roy Williams. And eventually, it was Roy replacing the legend Dean Smith. And I think at Duke, right, you're going to go from Coach K to Shire. I think Duke will take a step back. He's 33 years old. He's never been a head coach before. He's only worked at Duke where he played. Only 33, right? Taking over, probably the biggest job in college basketball. I don't know if it will work out. He could be like that Doherty, trying to find a UNC guy, in this case, right? A Duke guy, somebody who played here, who's been coaching. And then that could lead. After that doesn't work out, and they say, you know what, this didn't work. And then it leads to, I don't know, just say a Brad Stevens, right? Some other big name that goes to Duke, and he starts winning again. I think John Shire could be Duke's Matt Doherty. But Coach K retiring after the upcoming season, the big news, the big breaking news of the afternoon. We'll come back and wrap up your Wednesday when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Fun and funky finish to your Wednesday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Are you stuck in your current position with no room to grow? Are you underpaid, undervalued, and yet overworked? Maybe you just need a new job. If so, call Carney & Sons 72 Degrees Air Conditioning and Heating. They're local, family-owned, and they value family time and have done so for over 37 years. Carney & Sons believes you should earn while you learn. And they have training programs to get you where you want to be in your career today. They're now hiring all full-time positions, optional four-day work week, benefits that include insurance and 401k, as well as paid time off and vacation, and a signing bonus up to $5,000. Call Carney & Sons 72 Degrees and start taking your career to new heights while still having time for the most important thing, family. Call them today, 843-762-4304. Carney & Sons 72 Degrees Air Conditioning and Heating. You know, yesterday in the show, I gave you for the Tuesday Top 10 the top 10 sitcoms of all time. And Ryan had said, I wonder what Super Dave's top 10 sitcoms would be, as we heard from Super Dave earlier. That's a great question. And we'll have to check in next time Super Dave checks in with us. We'll have to get his top 10 sitcoms of all time. I gave mine on the show yesterday. You could find that on demand. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. The show is also podcasted there. Bobby, of course, took exception. Right? He said something about Night Court, Taxi, I will say Taxi. I should have referenced Taxi. That's a classic. Great show. Love Danny DeVito. Should have mentioned Taxi from back in the day.
But your focus was primarily for the last, like, 30, 35 years or so.
Yeah. As you can understand, right? Come on, these are the shows I grew up with. So I wasn't thinking of Night Court or Taxi or whatever else he wanted. Jake and the Fat Man, whatever other shows he was talking about.
Blake and I were talking between shows yesterday, and one we forgot who was Roseanne. The original.
I was never into Roseanne, even the original. Not big into that. I was never a fan of Roseanne Barr to begin with, nor that show. I failed to mention a newer one, but it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is going on. They signed a new deal. They're going to do at least 18 seasons of a sitcom, which is absurd. The problem there is what I talked about yesterday with Modern Family, and I would say even the Goldbergs, is that it jumped the shark too soon. The first, like, 5, 6, maybe 7 seasons of It's Always Sunny were pretty good, especially the first 4 to 5 seasons were really strong. But now, at this point, they're going to do 18 seasons. The last 10 seasons, you get maybe 2 good episodes a year. So I couldn't consider that in my top 10. We'll have to get Super Dave's top 10 at some point. If you missed my list, you can find it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston. However you listen to your podcast, just search us there. ESPN Radio Charleston. Tomorrow is a Throwback Thursday. Speaking of which, we'll throw it back tomorrow. Get to our wrestling wrap-up for the first time in a couple of weeks as well. And so much more to get to on the show tomorrow. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we have to say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.